Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. It's grateful. It's grateful, Deborah Evans. Good morning. God bless you.
Welcome to Declare Victory. Good morning. Good morning, everybody. This is Persistent Priscilla, and I am your greeter this morning, your host. So thank you for joining.
Good morning. This is Sister Yvonne. Thankful Thursday to all.
Good morning, Sister Yvonne. Welcome, welcome.
Good morning, Persistent.
Good morning. Who's that?
Miss B.
Hey, Miss B. How are you?
I'm doing okay. Thank you for asking.
Absolutely. Good morning, good morning. Welcome to Declare Victory. Would anyone else like to say good morning? Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Welcome to Declare Victory. Who's that?
My name is Topsy.
Topsy?
Yes, Topsy with a T.
Ah, Topsy. Topsy,
yes.
Is this your first time joining us?
It is, yes.
Welcome, welcome.
Thank you
so much. I am your host today, and my name is Persistent. They call me Persistent Priscilla,
okay.
And we welcome you to Declare Victory. Thank you for joining us, and we hope to hear your name again.
Yes, Pretty Patrice suggested I hop on, so.
Excellent, excellent.
Good morning, Tati.
Good morning, Patrice.
Yes. Good morning. It's Pretty.
Good morning, Pretty Patrice. This is Persistent. Welcome.
Hi, Persistent.
Hi.
How are you?
I am good this morning. I am good.
Thursday.
Yep. Thankful Thursday. Good for hosting today. So it's all good. Anybody else doing the call this morning? Want to say good morning?
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Good morning, Patsy. This is Yolandra. Good morning, everybody.
Hi, Yolandra.
Welcome. Thank you. Good morning, Yolandra. Good to hear your sound.
Thank you, Priscilla.
Anybody else join the call would like to say good morning?
Good morning, Sister Lisa. Happy Thursday. God bless everyone on the call. Hey, hey.
Yes. Good morning, Sister Lisa. This is Persistent Priscilla. Welcome to Declare Victory.
Have a great day.
You too.
Good morning. It's Sister Tracy. Happy Thursday, everyone.
Yeah, good morning, Sister Tracy. Good to hear your sound. This is Persistent. I'm your host this morning. Welcome, welcome.
Good morning,
good morning, Persistent.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Family,
happy
Thursday. Same to you. Welcome,
welcome. Good morning, Persistent. Good morning, Declare Victory. This is Joyful. Happy Thursday, everyone.
Yes. Good morning, Joyful. Good to hear your sound, and welcome, welcome. Would anybody else like to say good morning?
Welcome me, me, me. Good morning. Good morning. Happy Thursday. It's Rochelle. Oh, and my one of my felines, Destiny. She says good morning. Her face all in the phone. But good morning. Have a great day, everybody.
Hi, Rochelle. Good morning to you as well. Welcome, welcome.
Good morning. It's Sunshine.
Hey, Sunshine. Good morning. Welcome to the Clear Victory.
Thank you.
Good to hear your sound. Would anybody else who's joined the call would like to say good morning?
Hello. Hey, it's AD2. It's Mona. It's Moxie Mona. Hi. Oh, breathe. Hey. Mona.
Hey.
Hey, happy
Moxie
Thursday.
Mona. Happy Thursday to you, too. This is Persistent. Glory to God.
Oh, I even know
welcome,
that was you.
Welcome.
I'm sorry. Well,
you didn't know it was me.
Like you, too. You sounded like me, too, girl. Oh, thank you, Jesus.
Yes, thank you, Jesus. Okay. Before I start hosting, is there anybody else who's joined would like to say good morning?
Yes, good morning. Okay. This is Joyce. Happy Thursday and blessings to you and everyone.
Happy Thursday to you too, Joyce. It's good to hear your sound. Welcome, welcome to the Clear Victory.
Thank you.
Okay, you're welcome. It's time to get started with the call. I am your host today. But before we move forward, I'm going to ask everyone to please mute your line so that we can proceed. But everybody, just make sure your phone is muted. Hello, my name is Persistent Priscilla, and I am your host today. Thank you for joining us here on Declare Victory. We are a prayer call that meets Monday through Friday, starting at 6 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, 8 a.m. Central Standard Time, and 9 a.m. Eastern Standard Time to edify, empower, encourage, and equip you in your walk with Christ. Make sure to join us during the month of March, where our monthly theme is the power of agreement. Each declare will focus on the importance of expecting and how to properly respond to with the truth of God's word and its benefit to advancing the kingdom of God. Make sure you invite a friend so they can be blessed too. There is one announcement today. Ladies, please join us tonight and every Thursday night for Walk It Out Women Call, hosted by Miss Lisa Porter. They are studying the book, The Bait of Satan by John Tavere. The call takes place from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 8 to 9 p.m. Central Standard Time, and 9 to 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here by dialing the same number tonight. Please mute your phone. If you can just look down and mute your phone, thank you. Are there any prayer requests? I didn't see any on the app, and there were none submitted. But the order of the call is prayer and corporate prayer. Praise will be brought to you by Yolandra. The declaration will be brought to you by Tanya. Again, the order of the call is prayer and corporate praise will be brought by Yolandra. The declaration will be brought by Tanya. Then we will go right into closing comments hosted by the declarer. The scripture for today is 1 Corinthians 7:5. Do not deprive one another, except perhaps by agreement for a limited time, that you may devote yourselves to prayer, but then come together again so that Satan may not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading, hearing, and doing of his holy word. Again, if there are any prayer requests, there were none submitted on the app. You can tell me now and we can pass it on to the prayer warrior. Are there any prayer requests?
Yes, this is Swanita. I did put it on the app, so I'm not sure why it's not showing up. But if you can pray for the Matthew family, the mother had just opened up a mental health, you know, she's a mental health practitioner, and she just opened her own practice up recently. And she had one child of, I said on the app, I think she was 11, but I think she was just turned 12 in February. But she hung herself. Her mother was downstairs and she was upstairs. And so she committed suicide the other day. And she was only like, I believe 12 years old. So if you can please pray for that family. And like I said, she was an only child and she had a mother and a father in the home. And I think the father is an educator. So I'm not sure, you know, and they didn't have a note or anything. So please just keep them and lift it up.
We will lift the Matthew family up in prayer. Thank you, Swanita. Is there anybody else that has a prayer request? Okay, at this time, again, we ask you to put your phones on mute until instructed to come off mute. I now pass the call to the prayer warrior, Yolandra. God bless everyone.
Good morning and hallelujah, hallelujah. Assistant, would you please read the scripture for today again, please?
Sure, no problem. Again, it's 1 Corinthians 7:5. Do not deprive one another, except perhaps by agreement for a limited time, that you may devote yourselves to prayer, but then come together again so that Satan may not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father God, we praise you. God, we praise you. Hallelujah. Father, our Father, hallelujah. God, you are our one and only, our supreme being, Lord God. You are our majesty, our sovereign God, Lord God. And you are in heaven, Lord God. You rule, Lord God. You rest, Lord God, Lord God. You have heaven and earth, Lord God, in your hands. Everything is under your control. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, God. We honor you. Hallelujah. Thy kingdom come, Lord God. This world is yours. Thy will be done, Lord God. Nothing can overcome. Nothing can stand against your will, Lord God. Your kingdom come. We look forward to your kingdom, God. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. God, give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, our debts, our sins, Lord God, one against another, Lord God, against ourselves, God. Forgive us, Lord Jesus. You are the only one, God, that can forgive us, Lord God, that can yield your grace and your mercy, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Forgive us our trespasses. We forgive those that trespass against us. Lord God, there will be others that will sin against us, will cause us hurt, harm, pain, and grief, God. But give us the power, give us the spirit, Lord God, to turn the other cheek, Lord Jesus, to be graceful, Lord God, the same grace and mercy, Lord God, that you, hallelujah, that you give to us, Lord God. Allow us, help us, Lord God, to give it to others. Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those
that trespass against us, lead us not into temptation. Deliver us, God, from evil. For thine is the kingdom, thine is the power, thine is the glory. You are forever. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Lord God, we come together this morning. Your word says, Lord God, whenever two or three agree, Lord God, you are there in the midst, Lord God. Our prayer is our agreement that we believe in your word, Lord God. We believe in your will, Lord God. We stand, Lord God, for what you stand for, God. We love you, God, because you loved us, Lord God. We believe, Lord Jesus, that Jesus is the one and true, only living Savior, God. We understand, Lord God, that we are your people, Lord God, that we are called. We have been called out and called by your name, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Lord God, that we should sin not, Lord God, that we should seek your face, Lord Jesus, that we should lean not to our own understanding, Lord God, that we should seek to be restored, Lord God, and renewed, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. God, we bless your name, God. We love you, we need you, and we agree, Lord God. Oh, God, we pray, Lord Jesus, that whenever we are tempted, Lord Jesus, that you will give us a way of escape. We know that your word is true. We know that your word is solid. We know that your word will not return to you void, Lord God. So we stand flat-footed, Lord Jesus, on your promises, Lord God. We look to the heavens on which our help comes, Lord God. We all have different needs, Lord God. We all have different desires, Lord God. We all have differences, Lord God. And we're grateful, Lord God, that you know every one of us, Lord God, that there is not one of us, Lord God, that you do not think of, Lord God, that you do not look out for, Lord Jesus, that you do not give a way of escape, Lord God. Lord God, you are our self-control. Hallelujah. God, you are everything that we need. Lord God, we pray. Jesus, hallelujah. God, there's so much going on in the world, God. So much grief and so much pain, God. Hallelujah. God, I pray for the Matthews family and that little girl that took her life, God. I can't imagine, Lord God, what she must have felt, how hopeless she must have felt, God, not knowing that there is a power, Lord God, just being tired, Lord Jesus, not wanting to do this thing called life at such a young age, God. Our young people are our future. Oh, God, we pray. We touch and agree, Lord God, for the Matthews family. We pray for her spirit, Lord God, that it may see your face, Lord God. We pray, Jesus, hallelujah, God, for her family, who I'm sure they are just beyond words. They're speechless, Lord God. I can only imagine the pain, hallelujah, of their child, God, hallelujah. But God, you know, you say, your word says that nothing goes on without your prior knowledge. You know our here and our before. You know our future. You know our past. You know what we're going to do, say, or think before we even think about it ourselves. So God, we understand that your will, Lord God, or your permissive will is always in effect. And we know, Lord God, that we should look to you and depend on you, Lord God, and we should not be concerned or overwhelmed, Lord God, with the goings on of this world, but we should pray and pray and pray and pray without ceasing. Lord God, I pray that you bless everyone under the sound of my voice, God. God, I'm grateful for Toxie, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, God, give her a renewed mind, Lord God. Help her to know that she knows that she knows that she knows that she can do all things through you, Lord God, that nothing is impossible, God.
strengthen her, Lord God. I pray and I agree, Lord God, that she will build a strong, strong, solid relationship with you and help her to know that nothing that can come against her. Bless her, God. Bless her mother, Lord God. Hallelujah. Bless her, Lord God. Bless her, Jesus. Welcome her into the fold. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Oh, God, I pray for the conditions of this world, Lord Jesus. God, I pray for the conditions of this world, God. Oh, God, help us to understand, Lord God, what's going on, Lord Jesus. Help us to be the salt. Help us to temper, Lord God, some of the things that are going on in this world, Lord God. All the injustice, Lord God. All the deception and deceit, Lord God. Hallelujah. God, we are your people. We know that we stand for you, Jesus. Hallelujah. And we know, God, that without you, God, nothing is possible. But with you, God, we are strong and mighty, God. So I pray, Lord God, that as we take our phones off of mute, hallelujah, that we will give you the ultimate praise.
Hallelujah.
God,
hallelujah.
Merciful, more graceful, no one, Lord God, who can provide and love.
love and protect us, then you, Lord Jesus, your word and your love, Lord God, goes on and on and on and on and never stops, Lord Jesus. Lord, I pray a special prayer for Michelle Ash. Lord God, the doctor says she has 3 to 6 months to live. Lord God, and I don't know if that's your will or not, but if it is, Lord Jesus, I pray, Lord, you give her some respite, Lord God, from the constant pain that she's in on a daily basis, God. Oh, God, be with her. Be with her, be with her. God, be with her. Hallelujah. I pray for the victor, Lord God, Tanya, that will come on, Lord God, that she will deliver a declaration, Lord God, that will touch and convict each one of us, that will educate us on something that perhaps we did not know about your word and your glory. Bless her, Lord Jesus. Bless her, Lord Jesus. All these things I pray in the matchless name of Jesus. No sweeter name I know. Amen.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning, good morning. Yolanda, before you go on mute, I just want to make sure that you can hear me, that you can hear me clearly.
I stayed off of mute just for that. Yes, I can hear you.
Thank you. Thank you, Mama. Appreciate you. Good morning, everybody. It seems like it's been at least 2 weeks since I last spoke to you, because it has. But I thank God for the opportunity to share with you this morning what I believe the Lord gave me. I want to thank Persistent for hosting and greeting this morning. Thank you for doing a wonderful job. And Yolanda, again, thank you so much for the prayer. You know me, let's jump in. At 12:45 a.m. on March 3rd, 1991, robbery parolee Rodney G. King stopped his car after leading police on a nearly 8-mile chase through the streets of Los Angeles. The pursuit began because King, who was intoxicated, refused to stop when a CHP officer tried to pull him over on the freeway. Los Angeles police officers and the police helicopter joined the pursuit, and when King was finally stopped, several police cars descended on his white Hyundai, I think is how you say it. Anyway, a group of LAPD officers led by Sergeant Stacy Coon offered King and the other two people, ordered King and the other two people that were in his vehicle to lie flat on the ground. Get out of the car, get out of the vehicle, exit the vehicle with your hands up and lay flat on the ground. King's two friends complied, but King was slower to respond, and instead he got on his hands and knees. Four officers tried to force King down, but he resisted. So the officers shot him twice with a taser that filled his body with about 50,000 volts times two, so about 100,000 volts. Ironically, a civilian by the name of George Holliday got his brand new video camera and recorded nearly the entire incident from his balcony across the street. All the arresting officers were white, along with all but one of the other two dozen or so law enforcement officers were present at the scene. Two dozen. So a dozen is usually 12. So we're talking about at least 24 24 law enforcement officers there. Anyway, though the footage was only 89 seconds, it captures the horrific police brutality ensued that was levied against King and the gross misuse of authority. At one point in the footage, King runs towards one of the officers, Officer Powell, who alleged that King was charging him. You know, he, you know, took off in a full speed and was going to charge him and knock him down, right? However, King alleged an officer told him, and I'm quoting what I'm quoting what King said, "We're going to kill you, nigger, so run." And he tried to run. To break the run, Powell, Officer Powell, struck King with his baton on the side of the head, knocking him to the ground. King attempted to get up, and Powell and an officer, Wind, another officer of the 20, of the two dozen, attacked him with a torrent of baton blows that prevented him from running. The rest of the horror show, the horror video, shows Powell striking King repeatedly with baton blows to King's lower body. Finally, Powell struck King on the chest, and King rolled over and lay prone. At that point, the officers stepped back and observed King for about 10 seconds. And Powell began to reach for his handcuffs. But at marker 65 in the video, Officer Brizino stepped roughly on King's upper back or neck. It was hard to see. And King's body began to writhe in response. 2 seconds later, Powell and Wynn again began to strike King with multiple baton blows. Wynn is even seen kicking King in the neck 6 times. At about 89 seconds, King put his hands behind his back and was handcuffed. Sergeant Coombs, never, N-E-V-E-R, never made an effort to stop the beating. And only one of the many officers present briefly intervened by raising his left arm in front of a baton-swinging colleague in the opening moments of the video, but to no avail. An ambulance was called and King was taken to the hospital. Listen to me. Are you listening? He was struck as many as 56 times with the baton. He suffered a fractured leg, multiple facial fractures, and numerous bruises and contusions. Now, you cannot tell me that these peace officers did not come up with some kind of plan or agreement to please mute your phone. That person that just started moving, please mute your phone. You cannot tell me that the agreement may not have been verbal. But these men clearly agreed, maybe not in this particular setting, maybe before. Maybe there were side conversations or unspoken rules that were given. But they were all in consensus. It bothered only one of them a little bit. It bothered him more than, I'm sure, the one officer that raised his hand and tried to stop one of his colleagues. It bothered him, but not enough for him to really go all out and try to stop anything, right? So you can't tell me that there was not an agreement. Anyway, let me continue. Unaware that the arrest was videotaped, the officers downplayed the level of violence used to arrest King and filed official reports in which they claimed he suffered only cuts and bruises of a, quote, minor nature. The King incident is an example of an unspoken agreement among two dozen peace officers to use excessive force to subdue a man. Not only did they silently agree to beat King, they agreed to lie on an official police report, which indicates that corruption and misuse of force was common among the Los Angeles Police Department. The King incident is one of many that demonstrates how the power of agreement can be used for evil intentions. But let's turn to the word for an example of the power of agreement for the good of mankind. I'm going to be reading from Daniel 1, 8, 12 through 14, and I'm using the NIV version. That's Daniel chapter 1, verse 8, and then I skip to verses 12 through 14. But Daniel resolved not to defile himself with the royal food and wine, and he asked the chief official for permission not to defile himself this way. Verse 12, please test your servant for 10 days. Give us nothing but vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then compare our appearance with that of the young men who eat the royal food, and treat your servants in accordance with what you see. So he agreed to this and tested them for 10 days. The first agreement, we see Daniel resolves or decides and agrees with himself that he will not defile his body with the king's food. The king being Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon. I don't have time to get into the specifics of the king's meat, but note that it has far more to do with just eating the food. Another thing that I want to bring to your attention is that, I don't know if you do this or not, but I do it very often. I'm going to make a decision about something, and I don't feel like calling one of the Graces or, I don't know, whoever else I might call, or, you know, it's a minor thing. So, you know, I start to talk to Tanya. And I'll be like, what you think I should wear? You know, this, I'm thinking about wearing this outfit. What you think? And she'll be like, girl, no, not that one. Try this one. I'll be like, nah, not that one. What you want? It's inappropriate. And so we have this dialogue with myself, with us. There's only one of me. So I have this dialogue with myself, right? And I will agree with myself sometimes. Sometimes I don't agree with myself. And it's cool. I don't have to get mad at me. None of that stuff. But sometimes I have a conversation and agree with myself to do this, that, or the third. And I think this is an incident where Daniel has a conversation with himself and makes a determination. No, I'm going to uphold this. Now understand, he's in a foreign country. He's being commanded to do certain things. It's not like this is a democracy. This is a monarchical society. However, he was able. Nothing beats a fail but a try. Here's the second agreement. Though we do not hear the conversation between the four, that is Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the agreement is implied amongst these youngsters, whose scholars believe were in their mid to late teens. Because think about this logically. You're not going to capture some older men and reprogram them. They are already in a fixed state. They already believe what they believe. They're not pliable. So it makes sense that the ones that are captured are younger, because they're going to learn faster. They're more agile. They are going to be a little bit more flexible, so on and so forth, and you can reprogram them a lot easier than you could an older person. So anyway, scholars believe that they were these young men. These are not, and I'm making this point for a reason. They agree they're in their mid to late teens, so they were not experienced grown men. Third agreement, Daniel, using God's wisdom and God's favor over his life, speaks to the chief official. And he begins to negotiate with him at this young age. And the negotiation is for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to eat only fruits and vegetables and water for the next 10 days. Now, the chief official, like, he didn't even have to hear what Daniel said. He didn't have to consider it at all. He could have completely shut it down. But there was something about Daniel, and he could see it, which is one of the reasons that not just Daniel, but Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, there was something about them. I would like to believe that it was an anointing over their lives, but I can't say that. But there was something special about them, which is one of the reasons that they got chosen out of all the other captives to be a part of it. And they weren't the only four. There were others that were there, but there was something special about them. And that something special carried over into the chief official having the ability or the capacity to listen to what Daniel was saying, even though he was concerned about it. Let me tell you why he was concerned. Here's a Tanya, not Tanya moment first, though. Today, if we make a mistake or are willfully negligent at work or whatever the case may be, we may receive a verbal warning. We may be written up. Or in the worst case scenario, we'll be fired. That's the worst case scenario. And if you fire, you know, you could probably collect unemployment benefits. You get to go look for another job. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's not, I mean, it's tragic. It can be tragic for some people. It's definitely does something to your self-esteem to some people. More emotional than anything. And you got to figure out what you're going to do quickly because you've got bills to pay, right? So there's that part of it. But under the rule of a tyrant like Nebi, his name is too long for me to say all in syllables, in a monarchical society, the rules are absolutely different. So the chief official was literally, he was responsible for ensuring, I call him the Four Musketeers, because that's too many names to be just Meshach and Abednego and Daniel. That's a lot. So I'm going to call them the Four Musketeers. Okay. So the chief official is responsible for them. So when you think about being responsible for someone, in my layman's definition, I think, you know, I'm responsible for getting this, you know, maybe I'm babysitting for somebody or whatever the case may be. I'm responsible for making sure they have something to eat, making sure that, you know, that I'm not participating in some type of activity that would cause them harm or danger or whatever, because I'm responsible for this kid, or let's just say I was watching for a little kid. Probably will never happen in this lifetime. But anyway, let's just say that I was being exceptionally nice. If you know me and kids, you'll understand why I'm saying that. I am not Didi at all. You hear me? I'm not Didi. But anyway, getting back to the lesson. I'm caring for these four children. I'm making sure I'm entertaining them. As a project, we might bake some cookies or some cupcakes or something. I don't know, but they're in my care, so I'm responsible for them. As opposed to the chief official who was literally responsible for them. I mean everything. So the rules are different. He was responsible for ensuring their well-being, specifically fattening them up, etc. But if he failed, here's the caveat. If he failed, or if the king was I'm talking about Nebuchadnezzar, if the king was displeased in any manner with their appearance, the way they whatever, if he was displeased, the chief official could lose his life. That's the big difference. So you understand now why he didn't have to be in a conundrum, but he was in a conundrum because for some reason he felt drawn, he felt compelled to honor Daniel's request. But on the flip side of it, he's like, if it doesn't go well, and these boys, they lose more weight than they started off, they're already frail, it's my responsibility to get them plump and their color back in their skin and the vibrancy in them and looking good and smelling good and all of these things. And if it doesn't happen, the clock is ticking. First of all, I got to do this within a certain amount of time. You get what I'm saying? Don't take your phone off of mute and answer me. I'm just trying to paint the picture of what the chief official must have been thinking. He may have been thinking some other things too, but that, at least on a surface level, is what had him trying to figure out, should I or should I not? Note that Dandan's request is in a plural context. I want you, instead of a singular context. So let's examine the scriptures. We're going to look at verse 12 and 13 again. I'm going to read it because I know you don't remember it. So verse 12 says, please test your servants, plural, for 10 days. Give us, that indicates we're talking about more than one person, nothing but vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then compare our appearance was that of the young men who eat the royal food and treat your servants in accordance with what you see. So in other words, Daniel is saying, the four of us allow us to only eat the fruits and vegetables. Here's a side note. That's where people get the Daniel fast from, the 10-day Daniel fast. Just thought I would throw that in there. If you don't know what that is, ask me about it during Love, Life, and Victory, and I'll tell you a little bit about it. But anyway, so he's not just advocating for himself. Daniel is not a, thank you, Holy Spirit. Daniel is not being selfish in his request. Daniel, now, I don't know if the four musketeers knew each other prior to being captured by King Nebi and his army. I don't know if they had a relationship prior, but they definitely, when they got selected to be a part of this elite group that were going to be trained in Babylonian law and culture and language, they obviously discovered that they were Hebrew, they were Jews, and so they immediately form an agreement, I believe, and a camaraderie, right? Because in order for you to develop a, to agree to a relationship, whether it's a business relationship or whatever, it doesn't matter, there has to be some form of agreement. The agreement can be spoken, it can be unspoken. Like the Graces have an agreement. It's not written in paper, but we understand what it is. We don't have their anyway, we understand what that agreement is. Do you understand what I'm saying? So you have a relationship, you have a camaraderie, there's an agreement that exists, again, whether spoken or unspoken. So anyway, Daniel is completely selfless in his request to the chief official. He's not only looking out for himself, but he's looking out for his brethren. He wants to ensure, because it was against Jewish law to eat some of the food that was going to be served to them. And they definitely didn't want the wine. They wanted only to be able to eat the fruits, and that, so they became vegans. All right, let's get back to the lesson. Daniel was a beast when it came down to believing God. Even as a young man, he lived faith out loud, trusting in the Almighty God, and he encouraged his friends, or perhaps they encouraged each other. Regardless to say, the four musketeers collaborated. They agreed and they believed God for the impossible, though they had every justification not to. What do I mean? So let me unpack this statement a little bit more. Number one, they don't have the four musketeers do not have access to the written law. They don't have access to any of the YouTube videos that you and I can access today by pointing and clipping. They don't even have access to a Bible, because the Bible's not even written yet. They don't have access to any, thank you, Jesus. They don't have access to any letters written, like Paul wrote almost a third of the New Testament, writing and encouraging people. They don't have access to any of that. They don't have the convenience of an older, wiser Jewish man, one of the rabbis or one of the scholars or one of the prophets of the Old Testament. They don't have them at their disposal to encourage them and tell them, just believe God, just believe God, just believe God. He's going to work it out. They don't have any of that. All they have is what they may have learned, the Torah that perhaps they learned when they went through their bat mitzvah or what have you, the things that they were taught, perhaps things that they, clearly things that they committed to memory, and they knew that it was against the law to eat certain foods, and they want, even being captors, they wanted to uphold the law. So let me get back to unpacking a little bit more. You got to understand, they were taken captive. They were forced and separated. They were forced from their family homes, their families, their culture. They were separated from everything that they knew as the norm, as their norm. All of that is stripped from them. I don't know how it looked as captors. If the families were allowed to stay together, I don't know if they separated the men from the, I don't know any of that. But they were led violently to Babylon on foot. They not put in a paddy wagon. They're not even put in a wagon. They're I don't know if they're marching. I don't know what they're doing, but they are walking. Maybe they're barefoot. They're in sandals at best, but they're walking in the desert. They're exposed to the elements. You know, if you're in the, because they're like in the desert country, if you've been to the desert, it is extremely hot during the day. I mean, the sun is merciless. But at night, it's cold. They don't have sleeping bags. They don't have blankets, more than likely. They probably only have the clothes on their backs. My God. That was a hard journey. Now recall that the guard, the official representative, he's responsible for their well-being, right? As captives, they're not fed three meals a day. But their captors could care less about them. I would imagine that the mentality of the soldiers who were leading them back to Babylon was that if they make it, they make it. If they don't, they don't. You're not putting a whole lot of energy into them because some of them may not make it anyway. They may have gotten a little water and bread. I don't really know. I would imagine, though, that they didn't get three meals a day. They didn't receive the proper rest. They were also bound in some fashion during the journey, because why would you capture these people who are now your slaves and allow them to just walk freely? No, they were probably bound. And some of the mechanisms that I've seen, people could be bound by the neck. They could be bound by the feet only. They could be bound by feet and hands. They could be partnered with somebody else and bound that way, which meant, you know, and in some cases, if the person was sick, you know, they had to try to help. Like, there's all kinds of things that I've seen and read about. Just know that it was a very, very unpleasant trip. And if there ever was a time for these young men to justify and deny God, forget about the law, what they were taught, if there ever was a justification, they had it, in my opinion. They had it. But let's get back to Daniel's request. Against all odds, the chief official conditionally agrees to Dandan's request that the four musketeers eat vegetables and water for the next 10 days. The condition was that if they looked weak, pale, etc., they would willingly eat the royal food. At the end of the trial period, the four musketeers looked healthier than the other candidates. While it's not mentioned, I believe the secret sauce to the four musketeers' victory was prayer and worship during their 10-day trial. So listen, I'm gonna segue into another example, but if you don't know about Daniel and the life that he led, he was one of the major prophets. I suggest that you read the book of Daniel and read it like in the Message version so that you can take it in. Then you can go back and read it in King James or NIV or whatever that you'd like to. Let's look at another case study. That's of Esther and Mordecai. I'm not going to read this, but I'm going to paraphrase because my time is limited. I'm going to paraphrase from Esther, the 14th. Is it the 14th chapter? Is it that many verses in Esther? I'll come back and confirm, but I think I wrote that down wrong. It might have been the 14th verse. Anyway, I'll clarify that, I promise. So here we have the Jews again. Esther was the niece of Mordecai. Her parents were deceased for whatever reason. And Mordecai, who was childless, agrees to raise her name. Her Hebrew name is Hadassah. A decree went out amongst all of the Jews that King Xerxes, who had banished his beautiful wife Vashti from being queen, she was banished from his sight and removed from the palace because she refused to comply to one of his ridiculous requests. He was trying to make her be a trophy girl. She was, I'm not doing that. I'm not, no. Because first, you, no, but amongst you and all of your men or whatever. And so it was seen as being disrespectful, and his cabinet members tricked him. Well, they didn't trick him, but they were like, you got to, hey, bro, you got to do something about this because she defied you. And the other women know she defied you. And if you don't do something about it, our women going to start defying us. And we're going to have all hell on our hands. And so in his drunken stupor, he made this request, and King Xerxes, made this request of Vashti. She refuses. The cabinet says, you got to do something about it. So he created a law, but he was sickened after that. So then sickened meaning that he regretted what he did, but he couldn't change it because once a law is, once a decree is made, it cannot be broken. Going back to Mordecai and Esther, so they're looking for virgins throughout his kingdom. They're looking for beautiful young virgins to replace the queen Vashti. This is another story would be good for you to read too as soon as I give you where to read it. Anyway, I'm human. So wrapping it up, Mordecai, Hadassah is captured. Before she's captured, he tells her, if you are captured, you cannot tell these people that you're Jewish. You must, in other words, you got to lie, sweetie. You got to lie and tell them that you are not Jewish and your name is Esther from now on. That's the name you're going to use. And so she agreed to her uncle's instructions, and she followed them to the letter. So she is selected by King Xerxes. It was divinely. She was a divine selection because there was something else she was supposed to be doing. So anyway, she is now married to King Xerxes. She's living life good. Mordecai is also working at the palace. He overhears the king's right-hand man. His name is Haman. He overhears him plotting to kill all of the Jews. So in other words, there was going to be another genocidal moment in history, or an attempt at any rate. Mordecai overhears what's happening, and he tells Esther about the plot. Esther was like, Uncle, man, that's horrible, but why are you telling me? I'm paraphrasing. He was like, girl, what you mean why I'm telling you? You need to go tell the king what Haman is planning to do. She was like, Uncle, I can't do that. You know the rules here. If I go before the king unannounced, I could be beheaded. Like, that's how serious it was. You know, I can't just walk up in there, and he hasn't visited my chambers in a little minute, and I don't know when he's going to come. He just pops up. He just shows up whenever he's feeling it or whatever. I can't guarantee that. He was like, listen, niece, you got to do what you got to do. She's like, Uncle, I'm sorry. I ain't going to be able to do it. You got to get somebody else. So anyway, Mordecai decides, okay, I know what I'm going to do. He decides to go into mourning, literally. And the tradition for mourning back then was that you tear your garment. Sometimes they ripped the neck of the garment, or sometimes they tore the sleeve of the garment as an outer appearance that or an outer indication that they're grieving. They also took dust and they threw it up in the air so that it got on their hair and their beard. And he sat in front of the palace. And so somebody told Esther about it, and she sent one of her servants some clothes, and was going to make get him to an area where he could take a bath and clean himself up. And he was like, no, I'm not doing that. I'm in mourning. And she did this a couple of times. And so anyway, they had a message. They used a messaging service. No, it wasn't. They didn't have no DMs. They didn't have no Facebook Messenger. They had no texts. They didn't even have no phones, let alone cell phones. They had access to paper, papyrus paper. So instead of doing that, Esther used one of the royal eunuchs. His name was Hathach, to be the messenger between Mordecai and Esther. So he was the human messenger. I can only imagine how hot Hathach's ears were delivering these messages between Mordecai and Esther. But initially, I'm going to wrap it up. Initially, Esther and Mordecai were at odds because of fear, so they were not in agreement. Esther was petrified, and for good reason, right? But she finally, Esther realizes she's in the king's palace and has his favor to save her people. That's what finally got her. God didn't bless me just so that I could live a lavish life. He blessed me so that I could be a tool. So she gets it together. She agrees to approach the king and expose Haman's evil plot. And so before doing so, though, she prepares herself. She asks Mordecai to notify all of the Jews to agree to go on a fast with her. And I'm talking about everybody, the kids, the animals, everybody went on a fast, as well as her and her servants. They went on a fast too, because they were believing God, the power of agreement, the power of agreement. We have a nation of people that are on a national fast, because it's a matter of life and death. Sometimes we as the Declare Victory, we have selected Wednesday as a it's not a national, but it's a cultural time that we've set aside for us to fast. Not because it's a matter of life and death in most cases, but because we want to impact the agreement. We want to have a powerful, impactful agreement spiritually on the things that have come together corporately and collectively to fast about. Sometimes it's about our family. Sometimes it is about our business. Sometimes it is about a political matter that is happening, things that are happening in our society. But in all instances, we are interceding for others. It's not just about, or it should not be just about ourselves. That would be completely selfish. And if that is the case, don't take offense at it at all. You do not have permission to be offended. This is an opportunity. This is a teachable moment. When we fast, of course we can fast about issues for us. We are asking God for clarity about decisions that we should make, so on and so forth. There's nothing wrong with that. But when we are coming together Wednesday as a corporate body of believers, it should be about more than just us, is what I'm saying. So the example is this. If this entire nation can make a decision to not just one day, not from the time you get up till 5, and for some of us, it is a struggle for some of us. If they can agree to fast for a full 3 days, in my mind, I believe they went straight through. I could be wrong, but I have a feeling they went straight through. What do you mean by straight through? They started the day that Esther called the fast, and they did not eat. They didn't break the fast at, you know, when the sun went down or what have you. They went a full 3 days of fasting. Is that possible to do that? Yes, I used to do it all the time when I was younger. I can't do it now. My body reacts differently. There are ramifications for me if I do it for a full 3 days. I've fasted for a full 10 days before. And I'm not saying that to you to brag. I'm just saying it's not impossible. And I was seeking God for something specific. And there were, and how I did, I'm getting off the beaten path just for a few minutes, and then I promise I'm going to stop. I did it for specific reasons. And very often what I would do is each day would be committed to one specific thing that I would intercede for and pray and seek God for. And I would have scriptures that were centered around it. And throughout the day, I was praying for these things. Okay, now I got to rush. If I was going to give it a title, I would say Saints. Can't we all get along? Let's circle back to my first example, Rodney King, briefly. At some point during his ordeal, he made a statement because he did sue the city of Los Angeles, and he did receive a large settlement. I must say this. They did not try the case in Los Angeles. They took it to Simi Valley. And I know some of you are very informed about what I'm talking about, but some of you may not know because it happened in 1991. They moved the trial to Simi Valley, and they were found not guilty. The officers were found not guilty. I think one of them was convicted of one minor offense, but at the end of the day, it was a slap on the wrist. And that is what started all of the horrific riots, the multiple deaths, and the millions of dollars in property that were lost. So let me go back. He did sue. King did sue the city of Los Angeles, and he won a suit. But at one point, during an interview or something, he made a statement, and I'm sure you guys know what that statement is if you followed the case. And it was, can y'all just get along? 1 Corinthians 1 and 10 says, I appeal to you, brothers, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree and that there be no division among you, but that you be united in the same mind and in the same judgment. In other words, can't we all just get along? As a caveat to that scripture, Colossians 3:17 says, and whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. But why would you add that scripture to that, Daniel? Let me tell you why. I cannot tell you the number of times that I've witnessed or been accused of something that brought about discord over some of the silliest things. Like, what color are we going to wear for the annual day program? Or, you know, I mean, silly stuff. You was talking about me, or you looked at me the wrong way, or you didn't agree with something that I believe the Lord gave me to do, or, you know, just silly. I mean, silly stuff. Issues like this are common, you know, in the marketplace, right? You would think that not getting along with people, it's the norm in the marketplace. What you mean the marketplace? At work, you know, you have a, you know, you're on, you know, road rage. Like, you expect that kind of thing in the marketplace, right? You expect some of that in families, family drama. You expect some of that in, you know, some of your business dealings or whatever. However, it is illogical to think that kingdom-minded people would disagree on so much. We can't even, like it doesn't even make sense that we don't even agree to disagree. Okay, you think it should be lavender and white for the program. I think it should be, you know, spring colors. Let people wear, then you're not locked into lavender. Let, you know, it can be yellow and blue and whatever. Okay, we don't want to do it that way. I don't have nothing against you, sister. I'm not your enemy. I just don't agree. I don't like lavender. I don't want to buy a lavender dress. And I don't want, so, I mean, I got my own reasons, but that doesn't mean that I don't love you. It doesn't mean that I don't like you. I'm not going to like every single, you know, I'm not going to like every single person. We might have personality conflicts, but I love you. I don't want to kick it with you, though, but I can work with you on a specific program or a project or whatever. It doesn't mean that I like you enough to be friends with you, right? It doesn't mean that I want to go hang out with you. You talk too much, or you don't talk, whatever the case is. I don't have to have we don't mesh. We just don't mesh, and it's not personal. I don't have to hang out with every single believer. You don't have to hang out with it, but we are commanded to love people, and there is a difference. Okay, I'm talking too long. Satan, let me just say this. Why is that? I don't have an answer, but I will tell you this. Satan is an accuser of the brethren, and it's his job to bring in discord. Revelations 12:10-12 says, then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren who accused them before our God day and night has been cast down. This is where we get the term that Satan is an accuser of the brethren. And he doesn't just do it once and go away. Notice the scripture says he accuses them both day and night. Listen, I've talked enough. I pray that something that I said has encouraged you. I pray that something that I've said has given you food for thought. I pray that something that I've said has sparked something inside of you, especially these last scriptures reminding us of how Satan is accuser of the brethren, and as such, he can plant seeds of discord in our minds if we're not careful, to make us believe that someone is against us just because they don't agree with us, or so on and so forth. Because the Bible does tell us, for where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. That's found in James 3:16. And the enemy is always, always against believers working to bring clarity and understanding. And that evil spirit aims to destroy from within the body of Christ. And it can sneak up on us unnoticed and cause squabbles and arguments and contention and resentment. It's happened to me. Which is why it's important for us to be sharp, to stay sharp. It's important for us to watch as well as pray. We can't be so spiritually minded that we're not any heavenly good, but we must be watchful. And as soon, and we must discern, you all. I'm talking to me first. We must discern whenever their confusion pops up and there's an argument. Is that the Spirit of God that's causing that person to argue? Is that the Spirit of God that has caused me to get angry so quickly? Have I heard the full story? Am I giving my brother or my sister the benefit of the doubt? Those are things, those are questions that I must ask. Are they in a, maybe they had a bad day today. Let me take a minute. Let me listen. Let me be swift to listen and slow to speak. Let me listen and weigh things out. I don't have to respond to what they're saying. I can be quiet. These are things that we can do to water down whatever thing that is trying to happen and not give, thank you, Holy Spirit. That was to me first. Not give in to the enemy making us feel something. It's not always about us. Anyway, that's my share. My name is Tanya, not Tanya, and I agree to this message. We're going to open the call up for love, life, and victory. And if you're new to the call and you don't understand what that is, after we're going to allow people that missed the opportunity for us to be able to say good morning to each other. We're going to allow that for the next few minutes. We're going to allow our men to go first to say good morning first. After that, we'll open the call up to anybody that would like to say good morning. If you're a guest, if this is your first time calling in, we'd like to extend the invitation to you first after the men to be able to say hello, and then it'll be a free-for-all. When we're done with that, we're going to open the call up. The phone line is going to be unmuted, and you'll be able to make a comment specifically on the declaration that was given just now, or ask a question, or get clarity on something that was said. And I'm going to do my best to answer questions and give you a and give you the clarity. So the call is officially open. We're going to allow the men to speak first, and then our guests or first time callers after that. Men, good morning to you.
Yo.
Let me see. Could this be Eric?
You got it, big sis. How you doing?
I'm well, thank you. How you doing?
All right. Thank you for the declaration. Love you.
Love
God
you
bless
too.
Everybody.
God bless you. Any other brothers want to say good morning?
Good morning. This is Kevin. Thank you for the declaration.
Hey, you are welcome. I hear something in your voice. I hear a smile in your voice or something.
Thank
Kevin.
You.
Every time you say good morning, I hear it. It must
thank
be
you.
The Holy Ghost.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
All right.
Any other men want to say good morning? All right. No, if not, we're going to open it up to any first-time callers. This is your first time calling in. Don't be nervous. We just want to say good morning and show you a little bit of love. And if there are no first-time callers, you're the first time, if you're here, you've been calling, but you've never said good morning or you've never spoken. Those two categories.
I am Toxie. I'm just learning about faith, and so I was invited to check this out, and I like it so far. So thank you guys so much for having me.
Oh, we are excited that you're here. Say your name one more time.
It's Totsy. It's spelled T-A-T-S-I.
Oh, Totsy. Okay. I like T names. Totsy, well, welcome to the call. Again, my name is Tanya. We are absolutely ecstatic that you are here today. Who invited you?
Pretty Patrice.
Oh, my God. You are in good hands. So listen, I hope that you will call back again. And just keep calling back. And I'm going to tell you this. Let me make this promise to you. If you call for the next 30 days straight and you listen and you pay attention and you apply some of the things that are being shared to you, I'm telling you, you're going to be a different Totsy at the end of that 30 days as long as you're consistent.
That's great.
Awesome.
Thank
you. Well,
thank you for
speaking. I'm really excited that you called in.
I am too.
Anybody else? First time caller, or is your first time speaker? No? All right. The call is open.
Good morning, Tanya. This is Leomia.
Good morning, Mama Leomia. Bless your heart.
Bless you. A great decoration, baby.
Thank you.
And I want to take this a little bit of time, not much, not long, to thank, declare victory for your prayers. And I thank God that he's still at work, baby.
Amen. Yes, he is, Mom. Yes, he is.
Still at work.
Amen.
Okay. You have a great day.
You too. God bless.
Hey, Grace. Good morning. This is Bree Bree.
Hey, Bree Bree.
Hey, I came off of mute to check on Mother Leomia. She okay? Her sound is a lot different this morning.
Yes, baby. Thank you. I'm doing much, 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 much better.
Okay, don't have us come out there to check to see with our own eyes.
Thank you.
Praying for you, Mother.
Thank you, baby.
I enjoyed you, Grace.
Thank you.
One of the things since I'm talking that I really, really enjoyed was I hadn't really connected how serious they were about their agreement to fast. When you put your animals on the fast, when you refuse to feed your dog until God moves, like, you serious.
Listen.
You serious. Listen, cat and dog. We all believe in Jesus. Like,
all of y'all.
all of us. I mean, the birds. We all fasting.
Yeah.
That was really powerful to me this morning. So thank you.
You're welcome.
Good morning. Yeah, Bri, it's a real thing. All felines, all animals in house. For me and these people that breathe in here, we shall praise the Lord. Good morning, Ted. Grace here.
Yeah. Good morning. Y'all slow this morning. Did I put y'all to sleep?
Good morning, Tanya. This is Drew. Good morning.
Good morning, Tan. This is Joyful. Great declaration. Thank you.
Hey, Joyful. Where are your sidekicks?
Good morning, Gigi. Thank you for your declaration. Broke it all the way down for me.
Hey, Gigi. Good morning.
My sidekick is in the kitchen, still trying to run things. That's how fast I had to mute. I couldn't even. He's around. Don't you worry.
I love it.
Good morning. This is Juanita. Great declaration.
Good morning, Juanita.
Hey, sis. Good morning. It's Demetriana. Don't be talking about me with these kids. Cause, I quit yesterday, but I came back today because they gave me a bug. So y'all pray for me. But thank you just for your share this morning. It was amazing. You said so much. Oh, my God. You broke that thing down because I was listening like I was watching a movie, right? The power of agreement and how you started out talking about the Rodney King incident. And can you imagine? I followed the case, but when you shared it, I was like, man, two dozen were in agreement silently to just, you know, we got to be mindful, y'all, what we are agreeing to knowingly or unknowingly, because sometimes we just agree to stuff that we shouldn't. And so I'm glad you shared that. And you were talking about like discord. Have you noticed? I'm going to say this, I'm going to mute because I see about three kids coming in. when you agree with stuff, and this is even how families are getting divided now, because in my whole life, I've never seen so many people that get divided after death, if that makes sense. Like, mm-hmm. you can't take care of mom or daddy while they're here, but as soon as they close their eyes, now you're fighting over their stuff, but you weren't there to help. And then even making agreements as far as the service goes or whatever, people move. There's so much that we're just falling into the enemy's stupidity because we're not paying attention to what the Word of God says. So I'm so grateful for this topic because we have to stop just agreeing to stuff we should not be lining up with, if that makes sense. So thank you, big sister. And, yeah, we're waiting on you. The kids said, let Auntie Tan come up here today and play on the yard. They waiting.
Diddy, you stop it now. You were saved until you got to that point. Go on, put yourself on mute. Go on, put yourself on mute. Me and little kids. Lord have mercy. I'm not the right one. Anybody else? Anybody else? You know what's funny? While y'all thinking about whether you want to speak or ask a question or whatever, we opening it up now. It's a free for all. You can ask questions and stuff. It's not that I don't like little kids. That's not it. I just prefer them to be older. And so it without fail, if I'm riding on an airplane, somebody and their kid is gonna sit near or by me. Really? If I am visiting, I don't know, at a church or something, I'm a kid, and they're going to come up to me and say, hi. I'll be like, hi, little person. How are you? I don't know what it is. I'm just not Dee Dee. I would like them to be older. So I could say, here's some money. You could go get what you want. Or you ready to eat? Are you going in there and fix you something to eat? And squabble or whatever. I don't want to deal with none of that. Anyway. The scripture I told you about Esther, remember I mentioned the scriptures about Esther and Mordecai. It's Esther 14 specifically where he is trying to convince her to help to save the nation. So I put a 1 on there. So it's Esther 4. It's a great read. And again, I would suggest that you read it in one of the, like the message, because it'll really sound like a story to you. But there are some key scriptures in the book of Esther. You know, you might want to go, but this could be, you can consider this a study time, right? There are 10 chapters, I believe, altogether in the book of Esther. And so you could use this as a form of study by first reading the book of Esther in the message, and then you could go back and read it in the NIV or King James, whatever version that you wanted to, so that you can get a more in-depth understanding and take it going back over it slower so you can understand more about the culture and the time period and the things that were happening during that time. It could just be a great learning opportunity for you. Anyway, any questions? Because I am not going to be a dead horse. Yes.
Hey, Tanya. This is Jubilant. You hear me?
Uh-huh. Go ahead. Good morning.
Oh, good morning. You know, wow, you are such a great storyteller. I mean, you took me back to that, you know, watching that video, but the way you described it, you know, wow. And then when you talked about the power of agreement, it made me think about Genesis 11. Where it talks about the Tower of Babel, right? You know, when evil man makes an agreement. I mean, you know, to the point, this is why we have different languages now, because of the fact that the Lord has said, and I think it was in Genesis 11, starting at 4, it says, then they said, come let us build ourselves a city with a tower that reaches to the heavens so that they may make a name, so that we may make a name for ourselves. Otherwise, we will be scattered over the face of the whole earth. But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower the people were building. The Lord said, if as one people speaking the same language they have begun to do this, then nothing they plan to do will be impossible for them. Come, let us go down and confuse their language so that they will not understand each other. So
right.
When the evil people could come to a place where the Lord said, wait a minute, we gotta stop this, right? Because it's like basically if they get together, nothing's gonna be impossible for them, you know, but God. And so, like, to think about if we got together, you know what I'm saying? You know, what could happen if children of God get together, you know, and come on that page of agreement and prayer over a nation, over a city, over a town or whatever, how God would move. So it just made me think about that as you were telling that story. That was so powerful.
Yeah, I agree with you, Juju. That's a great example of the power of agreement, even though they used it for selfish intentions. Because notice the scripture says they talked about making their name great, not the name of God. All of this was, and they were out of obedience because God had told them to scatter. Think about the effort that it took to build the they started building it too. Think about the power of agreement. Somebody had to come up with the idea, and they had to convince the people to agree to go against the law of God. Somebody had to come up with the idea. And we know the enemy is there. He's working to bring the discord and give them the mind to do something different. But I want you to think about all of the different components that took place. You have the idea, then you have the plan. Somebody had to draw up the plans. I don't know how they would have drawn them up, but they had to come up with a plan as to how they were going to build, because they don't have skyscrapers, they don't have scaffolding, they don't have the tools that we have to build. And in order to build a tower, you got to dig down in the ground first and have a really solid foundation. How did they do that? Like, that took years to do that alone, to build the foundation. They don't have written plans. I don't know what those plans were. I don't know if they used papyrus to draw them out. I don't know what, like, all of the effort that it took for them to draw. Then you got to follow the plans. The plans have to be, nobody has any certification. They're using their mind. There's no training that anybody didn't go to school to get a degree or anything like that. They're literally using their mind and the creativity. And they don't have any other towers to compare it to know if this worked, that didn't work. I'm sure there were some blunders and some mistakes. They corrected them. But the power of agreement kept them moving forward. And so they're agreeing to build this thing. And so they get above ground now. They got their foundation. They get, thank you, Jesus. Now they're building above ground, and I don't know how high it got, but they have began to build that tower. How wide was it? Because they're talking about housing people. How high were they going to try to go? Like, this was going to be the first skyscraper. So skyscrapers aren't anything new. Building tall buildings aren't anything new. They started way back during the build out of the Tower of Babel. Now, we take that humanistic standpoint and let's look at it from a spiritual standpoint. If we got together, the Bible says that one can put 1,000 to flight, two can put 10,000 to flight. What if we got together? And I know there's a core of Declare Victory people that there are many people that call, but there's a core that support the ministry with your tithes and your offering. There is a core that supports the ministry through fasting. There is a core group. There's a core. There's always a core. That's normal. Give me a second. I'm going to make this point, and then I'll let you speak. There's a core group of individuals. What if this core group of individuals got together with the foundation of fasting, and we got that down to a science? Could you please mute your line until just give me a few more seconds, and then you could speak. What if we got together, and fasting was our foundation, because we're going beneath the akareas. We're going beneath the surface.
Yeah. What the
We're going beneath
that?
The surface, right? So whoever it is that's laughing, could you put your phone on mute? Thank you. So we go beneath the surface with our fasting. The fasting allows us to get beneath the surface. It allows us to get to the core. And then we start to build from there, spiritually. Because whatever we do in the spirit affects the natural. What we do in the natural affects the spirit. There isn't anything that we wouldn't be able to do as a core group. That's all I want to say. Somebody was really anxious to make a comment, I believe. Your phone was off mute. You have the floor now. You can go ahead and speak. Okay. Anybody else have a question or a comment? If not, I'm going to give y'all some time back. Going once. Going twice. All right. Listen, it's been great sharing with you this morning. Thank you for the comments that were made. And I pray that instead of doing something that is not beneficially to you spiritually, since you're going to have about 30 minutes, we're going to end the call about 30 minutes early. We usually end around 8. Why not take the time to start reading the book of Esther using the Message Bible version or the Living Bible? Or why not take some time to read about Daniel? And the book of Daniel is a little bit longer, but you could start at you start at the first chapter. And again, reading it from the Message version or the Living Bible, since you're getting some time back. I believe there is a women's call tonight at 6 p.m., the same exact number. If you can't make that call tonight, or if that's not something that if you're not a lady or you just don't have the time, join us back here tomorrow. Tomorrow's Friday. It is Men's Day. One of the men will be teaching tomorrow. Invite a man. Invite a guy friend, or somebody from work or whatever. Somebody that the Lord puts on your heart, a relative or whatever. And then remind them in the morning about the call. Don't just expect them to call. Remind them in the morning about the call. Encourage them. And I'll see y'all again the next time. Have a great day, guys. Bye-bye.
Be blessed. Have a great day.
Have a great day, everybody.
God bless everyone.
Have an awesome day, everybody.